칼라칸야피 부부제 푸란자나 푸람발랏 야비부타 푸루샤 사디오 니샤르타미얏. Kala Kanya means the daughter of Kala. Who's Kala? Time. Yes. And so who's the daughter? Yes, I know that's their name, but who do they represent? Old age? Yeah. Old age. Api means also. Bubuje means took possession of. Puram means Puram usually means like the city, right? So the city of Puranjana. This is all, of course, is it a metaphor? Prabhupada calls it he calls it the figurative city of Puranjana in the purport. Balat means like Balaram, strength, yes, by force. Yaya means by whom. Abhibhuta means being overwhelmed. Purusha, man or person, yeah, person, yeah, men or persons, generally. Sadhya means immediately. Nisharatam means uselessness. And iyat means gets, acquires. Gradually, Kalakanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Puranjana city. And thus rendered them useless for all purposes. So listen to the purport, because I may ask you some questions from the purport. At the fag end of life, when the invalidity of old age attacks a man, his body becomes useless for all purposes. Therefore, Vedic training dictates that when a man is in his boyhood, he should be trained in the process of brahmacharya. That is, he should be completely engaged in the service of the Lord and should not in any way associate with women. When the boy becomes a young man, he marries between the ages of 20 and 25. When he is married at the right age, he can immediately beget strong, healthy sons. Now, female descendants are increasing because young men are very weak sexually. A male child will be born if the husband is sexually stronger than the wife, but if the female is stronger, a female child will be born. Thus, it is essential to practice the system of brahmacharya if one wishes to beget a male child when one is married. When one reaches the age of 50, he should give up family life. At that time, one's child should be grown up so that the father can leave the family responsibilities to him. The husband and wife may then go abroad to live a retired life and travel to different places of pilgrimage. When both the husband and wife lose their attachment for family and home, the wife returns home to live under the care of her grown-up children and to remain aloof from family affairs. The husband then takes sannyas to render some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of life. Unfortunately, there is no training even in childhood, nor can one give up his family life even at the end. This is the situation with the city of Puranjana, figuratively described in these verses. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhinantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we know Prabhupada said that it's hard to say who's old. Why is that? Because you could die at any time, right. Still, you know you're old when, for example, the candles cost more than the cake. Right? That's one way of judging that you're old. If you get a birthday cake and the candles are more expensive than the cake itself, it's a problem. You're definitely getting old. There's no room, right? Right? Or if you get the daily newspaper and you turn to the obituaries, and if you see your name is not there, and that really makes your day, that means you're also getting old. So here, there's a number of things being described. But one thing that catches my attention as I read this is that there's different responsibilities and different duties to be performed at different stages in our lives. And not only are there more different duties and different responsibilities, but that's based on the fact that we have a different mindset in different aspects of our lives. There was a book written, I believe it's in the early 80s. It was called Passages. And it was written by a lady who, she wrote about how the different mentalities of someone in their 20s, someone in their 30s, someone in their 40s, someone in their 50s. I don't think she went beyond 50. I can't remember. Maybe she wasn't beyond 50 herself. But even, you know, even this person, you know, gave some clear understanding that there's different ways of thinking. You know, we quoted Mark Twain the other day, right? Where he said that when he was 16, his parents didn't know anything, and when he was 25, he was amazed at how much they learned in 9 years. You know, we have and the Vedas discuss this. They even talk about child rearing, right? That the first 5 years of a child's life, what are you supposed to do? Spoil them, right? Yeah, you know, just let them do whatever they want. Well, within limits, you know. But yes, and then from 5 to 16, discipline, usually becoming a little bit more stricter as the years go on. And then after 16, friendship, right? So this is, of course, this is the Vedas, this is Chanakya Pandit. But the point is that Vedic culture recognized that there's, you know, different shlokas for different folks, you know, that at different times in your life, there's different things that one emphasizes. And so here also, for example, Srila Prabhupada is talking about, you know, relatively, not super, but relatively early marriage, right? He says men 20 to 25. How many of you unmarried men are between 20 and 25? Okay. They're like, you know. And why does he recommend that? Well, there's a reason for it. One of the reasons he gives here is practical, that when you're 50, then your children are around 25, right? And they're kind of, like, I have, my son is just turned, no, not just turned, he's almost 19 now, because I didn't follow this, basically. I got married when I was 30, and I think I was 33 when my son was born. But even now, you know, so I'm 51, and, you know, my wife and I have what they call in the West an empty nest. We only have one child, and he's on his own. I just spoke to him a few minutes ago, but, you know, he's you know, to a large extent on his own, making his own money and, you know, making a lot of decisions on his own. Of course, he consults with us sometimes when he's in a good mood. But the point is that, you know, if I live another 20 or 30 years, there's a lot of freedom in my life. I'm not tied down to, you know, my wife is in South Africa. She's preaching right now. I'm here in Radadesh, and she's flying back to India and then flying to America, and I was in China. You know, so we have a lot more freedom to do things that we want to do, hopefully in Krishna's service, you know, because of this situation. So there's some wisdom to this. Not that it has to be, you know, like, you know, if you marry when you're 26, you're in total maya, you've neglected Prabhupada's instruction, you're bogus, you know. It's not like that, but these guidelines, you know, there's some wisdom behind it. And a culture you know, one of the things that ISKCON struggled with, I think I mentioned this in the last class, is that we were all kids when Prabhupada left us. You know, I think, you know, the oldest devotee was like 35 when Prabhupada left. And so we didn't have elders. As Jayadwaita Maharaj said, I think in the 90s or the 80s, he said, the biggest thing missing in ISKCON is grandmothers. You know, grandmothers are wise, you know, people who've been there and done that. And they can, you know, give a lot of good information. Now, one of the big problems with society today is that in a lot of modern society that's been fueled by technology, older people aren't seen so much as aren't looked to for wisdom, because so much of wisdom is based on things like technology, right? So, you know, if your grandfather doesn't know how to use an iPad, you know, why should we talk to him about anything in life, right? You know, if he doesn't know the difference between an Apple and a Mac and a PC, and he thinks, you know, Vista is as good as Windows 7, I mean, the guy's an idiot, right? You know, how can we listen to anything he says? You know, he thinks Vista's okay. Jesus, you know, that's so, as my niece would say, that's so 10 minutes ago. You know, but that's not very, very unfortunate. That's very unfortunate, because a civilization is so much based on you know, should be based on wisdom, and wisdom comes at least to some extent with age, not totally. You can be, you know, as my wife would say, Egypt, and be old. Anyone know what an Egypt is? Egypt, E-E-J-I-T. It's a Irish thing for idiot. My wife's Irish, so when she gets upset at me, I've been called an Egypt a few times in my life. So I know what the word means. I had to look it up in the dictionary. So people can be Egypts in their old age, but if they, especially if they followed a religious path and lived a pious life, you know, you gain wisdom. You know, and you do see, for example, when you get elderly, as this verse is talking about, there's an end game, as they say. You know, it ends at, because sometimes I mean when we're 20 and 25, we kind of think, you know, we strut, and when we get older, we crawl, so to speak. You know what strutting is? No? Nima, do you know what strutting is? Can you strut, please, for everyone? Just for a second. Just from there to here. Yes, okay, thank you. Very good. That's strutting. And you don't strut into Vaikuntha. You don't strut into Vaikuntha. You know, Jaya and Vijay say, whoa. We're, you know. You crawl. So, you know, when elders, you know, when, you know, an elder sees a 25, you know, we're going to take over the world, we're going to do that, and then they say, oh, very nice, that's very good. Down, boy, you know. That's very good. You know, let's channel that enthusiasm in the proper way. So, there are different priorities at different stages in our lives, and here Srila Prabhupada is saying that there's two things that are going on in parallel lines in this purport. There's the different stages of life and the different duties and responsibilities, and then going on in a parallel line is the constant need for developing self-realization and Krishna consciousness, and that remains constant as we go from, you know, birth, growing. Existing, producing offspring. Well, actually, it should be going down. Producing offspring, old age, and death. But the spiritual necessity remains the same. Srila Prabhupada writes that this is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of life. So always there's this, there should be a spiritual dimension to our consciousness. It may be the fire may be turned up a bit, both in our early training as Brahmacharya, and in our later stage when we're approaching death, right? And then in the middle, you know, we may be somewhat more entangled, or well, engaged. Let's use that word. Entangled has such a negative connotation. Engaged in the world. Prabhupada uses the word here: family responsibilities. Right, and that we know what that means for those of us who have them. You know, it means, you know, you got to pay your bills on time, and you know that the children need education, and there's all kinds of things that go on that aren't exclusively Hari Nam Anukirtanam. Right, in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada mentions that a brahmacharya's duty is simply Hari Nam Anukirtanam. Right? When we were brahmacharya, remember being a brahmacharya? We were only concerned about three bags: our sleeping bag, our book bag, and our japa bag. That was it. And we used to have a competition, you know, that all of your, in America, apple crates come about this big. And so we had to make sure all of our possessions fit in that apple crate. Right? Two dhotis, two kurtas, some clothes for sangirtan. If you're lucky, maybe a razor blade. You know? Soap was optional, unfortunately, but it was, you know, it was a great training. It was a great training in devotional life, and in just dedicating oneself fully to the service of the Lord. So by doing that, by having that early training, that carries on. Like we have Rup Sanatan Prabhu here, so he's just got married, right? Congratulations, mazel tov. And he had so much brahmacharya training. So now that he has this big distraction, no, I'm joking. No, he has a wonderful wife who had similar training, then that will carry on. You know, even when, you know, like now Dina Dayal Prabhu and Anupama Mataji, they're going to have a child, and that takes... so much energy, especially from the mother's side when the child is young, but because of that early training, you know, one doesn't just go boing and you know, kind of go off the spiritual deep end, but one, you know, remembers that even that happened to Ajamil, right? You know, he at one point he remembered, he got pretty distracted actually, right? He got, you know, distracted, but there was a time. Very at the end of his life, where he remembered that training. So we were talking about this yesterday in our class on social issues. That for one, that we were talking, there was an interview we had with Yogeshwar Prabhu, very nice devotee, and he, let's just, you know, make a long story short, he deals a lot with the outside world. He's a professor at a university. He writes books. He wrote a book on some terrible things that happened around World War II. Well, he wrote about the Holocaust. He wrote about what the Japanese did to Chinese people. So he's written a book about George Harrison. He edited Radhanaswami's book, and he can deal. It seems from the interview that he can deal very comfortably with all different kinds of settings. But the students mentioned that he could probably do that because he had such nice training as a brahmachari, and he had so much association personally with Srila Prabhupada. And if one didn't have that, some of the devotees in the class felt that he wouldn't be able to be so comfortable both with his Krishna consciousness and with his dealings outside, right? That was kind of our conclusion yesterday, at least one of them, right? Gauri? So that early training is very helpful. So those of us who are living in the ashram, it's such a advantage. It's such a Prabhupada gives the example of the Chamber of Commerce, and he says that why do you have a Chamber of Commerce? Right? It's usually a group of businessmen who get together because that association he strengthens them. So, you know, we're living in the ashram and we're associating with other people who are dedicated to the spiritual master's service and the deity's service. It's very strengthening. It's very enlivening. And, one remembers that one's whole life. Another point to make here is, Srila Prabhupada says, before we get to that last point, let's talk about this, semi-controversial point. Anyone know which one it was? Anyone listen to the purport? Yes. Yeah, what kind of children? Well, there's usually two choices. Right? Yeah, right. what's that? Well, generally not. Why in the Vedic culture was a male child desired? It's Prabhupada says here, a male child. It doesn't mean you have to have only male child, but why did someone want a male child? For performing the rituals, funeral, right, all the different, okay, that's part of it, yes? Because in the Vedic culture, mainly men do that. Yes, Alakam? Right. So the son would take care of the mother. Yes. I keep telling my son, there will be payback time. Yes. Right. Get a good job, make a lot of money because you got to take care of your mom, and she likes expensive things. No. No, she's not like that. Actually, that's not true. All these ladies, they're like that, but she's not. What else? What's the name for a son in Sanskrit? Putra. What does putra mean? Yeah, one who delivers. Right. Right. So you see, in the tradition, that traditionally, as one feminist who kind of became who started seeing things a little differently, she wrote that traditionally. Transcendence was a male project. That was her term. Rivina Suprabhu talks about this in his class. Why? Because, it wasn't because, her point was, at least, that the female body, it's very much grounded to the here and now. Right? When a person takes care of a child, it's not that you can just be spacing out reading the Bhagavad Gita when your child's crying. Right? You have to very much deal with that child, and also on a cyclical basis every month the woman is reminded almost that that her body is meant in certain ways for producing offspring. Of course, on the positive side, Prabhupada said that the closest thing to love in this world is mother's love for their child. Well, daughter also, yeah, yeah, a mother's love for her daughter or son. Yes. But, so the male contribution to the reproductive process is a short one, whereas the woman carries a child for 9 months and is certainly the first provider of breast milk and all those things. Now, has that changed? Now, also, therefore the male was traditionally the breadwinner, right? He'd be out in the fields or whatever, depending on his varna. While the woman was taking care of the family, and he had to, be the breadwinner. Now, have things changed? I mean, we could say they certainly have. Women make, it's still not a parity, but women are every year it seems to get closer that women make as much money as men. Although in the world today, that's not it's still not equal. And certainly in our society, in ISKCON, we have women who are temple presidents. There was just a new lady added last year to the GBC. And probably quite soon, there'll be a women guru. Right? So it's taken. Does it always apply? Well, this is not a sociology class, it's a Bhagavatam class. But one could say that, you know, on a spiritual level, these differentiations aren't as prevalent as they were in previous ages. So the final point is the human form of life, Prabhupada writes, is especially meant for God realization. So, let's read that again. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization, because that probably is more the mood that Prabhupada wrote this in. You know, his purports, they drive home the purpose of life so strongly again and again and again. That one sentence could keep a person going for years, right? If we just understood that one sentence, the human form of life is especially meant for God realization. You know, and Prabhupada had such an urgency. Now, you know, we could try to ascribe things like, well, he was elderly, he understood these things, but you know, our understanding of Srila Prabhupada wasn't on that level. That he was, you know, an emissary from the spiritual world, and you know, his realizations are so deep. And it's hard for us to have such deep realizations. You know, it's hard for us, like, you know, how many years have you been a devotee, Prabhu? In this con, you know, because you're going to say, no, I'm not a devotee yet. You know, with the whole, you know, 34 years. It's hard to be at war with Maya for 34 years. You know, sometimes you want some peace. You know, right? War, you know, it's like wars, you know, because that is a metaphor we use a lot in ISKCON, right? Like, it's a declaration of war on the material energy. Sometimes, you know, you want to just kind of put up the white flag, okay, you know, right? Or you don't necessarily want to put up the white flag and just give in to, whatever. But that sense of urgency, and it's not an easy thing to maintain day in and day out, year in and year out. And so what a challenge Prabhupada gives us in his purports, when, you know, because he had this, you know, he had this vision of eternity. And therefore he could easily say, what's the problem? Just give this one life to Lord Chaitanya. And we're thinking, you know, right? But for him, he actually understood how many lifetimes we've lived. You know, And when he says janma mrityu jaravyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, that one sees that a wise person sees the ills of birth, death, disease, and old age. He deeply understood what it means to be a conditioned soul entrapped in a body, and what a great gift he's giving us by giving us the opportunity to serve Shishi Radha Gopinath. So that is a challenge for us. And we were, you know, even talking about that a little bit, I think, at the very end of class yesterday in our Bhaktivedanta College class, that different devotees deal with this in different ways. You know, someone like Yadunandan Swami, he's dealt with it by, you know, he's such a saintly person, and he's living this life on a day-to-day basis. You know, he's made that, you know, especially by taking sannyas, he's made that declaration of war, you could say. Some of us might find, let's say, Krishna-conscious ways to chill out. You know, like for example, I was telling the students yesterday, my wife likes to write poetry. So she writes, you know, Krishna-conscious poetry. And that's a way for her to, you know, express, which, you know, her you know, human needs for expression and creativity, and her interest in a literary life, but it, you know, it's dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. You know, for a lot of people, it's just, you know, kirtan or bhajans. You know, but somehow find ways that that it doesn't seem so much like a war, but it's also not giving into the material energy. That may be helpful for us. But in somehow or other, yena kena pakarina manasa Krishna nivesyat, somehow or other, we need to find the ways to fix our mind on Krishna. Because it shouldn't, I remember a class by Dave Amrita Maharaj years ago in India, and he was just talking about it. He said, you know, Krishna consciousness shouldn't be a struggle.
It shouldn't be like, you know, okay, Hare Krishna, you know, I got to chant my rounds today, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You know, it's, you know, Radha Gopinath is beautiful. Prasadam is wonderful. The devotees' association is attractive. The holy name is ecstatic. You know, we need to find the way to make Krishna consciousness in our hearts something, you know, really that we want to do. That we're greedy to do, actually, ultimately. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavati mati kriyatam yena kutopi labhyate tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam. Right? That it should be a loyam. There should be a, is that, did I get that right? That verse? Yeah, a Sanskrit scholar here, gotta be careful. we should have that greed. And that comes from being attracted, and we should be attracted. So, some questions, comments?
Gaura Hari Prabhu.
The older people who have messed up their life in ISKCON? What's that? We were, yes. As you can see, some of us are getting older, but yeah. Like child. Mm. Right. Well, it's true that people, you know, Srila Prabhupada would be so, what's the word? Sad. In his compassion, when he saw elderly people, you know, in America at least they play shuffleboard, you know, or, you know, I don't know, what do they do in Europe? Watch television. Yeah, right. Yeah. What else? Pétanque. It's French. Right, so that's sad, right? But, you know, even people who are like that, if you get them at the right time and you ask them the right question, sometimes you can draw things out of them that they're not asked a lot, and therefore, you know, that part of their life has become like atrophied, you know. But sometimes you can get, you know, as Chanakyapan, you know, so even from a non-devotee, you know, as Chanakyapan, you know, you can take gold from a dirty place. You can get some interesting things if you ask the right questions to people. And you, and of course, much even more so with their devotees. But, you know, old age in itself, on the other side, because there's always, yeah, buts, right? So Prabhupada did say that Jesus lived, what, 33 years? All right? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how many? Was it 48, right? And I think also Sankaracharya, very... So it's not, you know, the duration of your life that counts as much as what you do with it. Or as a nice thing, you know Peter Burwash? He said a nice thing once. He wrote a book, I can't remember what it was, but he was going to, at one time, he was going to name it something like The Significance of the Dash. You know what a dash is, like a hyphen? So like I was born 1958, and so eventually, hopefully it'll say, you know, 2035, is that hope, wishful thinking? You know, whatever, anyway. You know, and then there's a dash in between. So his point was the important thing is the dash. Not when you died, not when you were born, not when you died, but what you did during the dash. And it is like a dash. It's like, boing, you know. I still feel, I still think, not feel, like a 19-year-old. That's when I kind of, you know, I joined a little earlier, but yeah, you know, but the body doesn't work in the same way. But, you know, Prabhupada mentions that you still feel young even when your body gets old. Not feel, but you think. So we should use our time carefully. So there often is some wisdom, even if it's just this world stinks, Prabhu. You know, because people often get quite bitter when they get old, right? That can be, that's probably a more common than not thing, right? That one, one had dreams, they didn't come true. One had aspirations, and those aspirations they weren't successful at. Even if they got them, they come to the realization, so what? Right, like they say, right, I climbed the ladder of success only to find that it was leaning against the wrong wall. Right? So that happens a lot. And those are people you can get some wisdom. They say, okay, so I got a Mercedes, I got a big house, I got, now what? Right? Prabhupada wrote about that in his, he wrote that very long and very deep poem in Vrindavan. Was it Vrindavan Meditations, is that what it was called? And he says, all that's left of all that family work is a list of names. So we should try to live our life now so that we're not thinking, oh, what an idiot I was, right? So that we don't lament. And of course, we also see Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his, is that mainly Sharanagati, where he's lamenting about his past? Good question. Is that all right? Other questions? Yes. 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 And there's different levels of old age. Also, my mother had dementia. I'm hoping I don't get it. Some people think I already have it. Dementia is when you can't remember a lot of stuff, basically. Your mental prowess becomes less and less senile. You become senile. So for my mother, it worked out well because she didn't know where she was, so we moved her to Vrindavan. Seriously. And she lived at the MVT, if you know. That's a very nice place in Vrindavan. And she moved there. She moved in with us, basically. I mean, just next door. And then she passed away in Vrindavan Dham, which is, considered very auspicious for someone. And we would chant Hare Krishna. I would say, Mom, Hare Krishna. And she'd go, Hare Krishna, what's that? And then I'd just go, Mom, Hare Krishna. So we would just do that for like an hour. Mom, Hare Krishna. Like that. So she was chanting. But that is at a certain stage. And of course, there's also being in a wheelchair. Is a very uncomfortable thing. And then when it really gets bad, needing assistance for just bodily functions like eating or passing or things like, it can get, it's no fun. And that's why it's a klesha. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi. It's a klesha. It's one of those proofs that the material world is not a fun place. But what we do in this culture is, I don't know about Europe, but especially in America, is there, those people, they have nursing homes, they're called, or assisted living is the euphemistic term, right? Assisted living. Used to be called old age home, now it's assisted living. And, my mom was in one of those places before she moved to Vrindavan, and that's a reality, but they're kind of tucked away. You don't see them so much. What you see in the billboards is some, nice young man or nice young lady and, Gatorade and, and all those things. But you don't, or even if it, like in the West, right, if there's a car accident and something really terrible happened, it's cleaned up in a half hour, Right? The tow trucks come, you know, if there's blood, it's hosed down and, you know, it's like never existed. Whereas in India, we know, you know, sometimes it's there for days or hours. You know, you see the you drive to Delhi and you see this smashed up truck or something like that. You just wonder what happened to the driver. Not that that's good necessarily, but you do see, oh, you know, how are you going to use champet arounds on the way to Delhi? So a lot of these things are, you know, they're cosmetically cleansed, and we're very much a culture of youth. And that's not exactly reality. Other points? Imai? I'm just repeating because you're talking so softly. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is lamenting about life, yes?
Yeah, so we need to repent too much, maybe?
We can repent too much, yes. That's you know, a slightly different thing, but since you asked, what happens sometimes is one of Maya's tricks, okay, is let's say you do something wrong, right? Like we were joking in our class. It's not true, but we were joking that Braja Biharini was smoking dope. You know, that was our joke, and we kept that going for a little while. Is she here? No. Okay. Don't tell her I said that. Anyway, you do something wrong, okay? And one of Maya's tricks is, because, well, Prabhupada mentions, I think it's in this canto, fourth canto, he says that for a sincere soul, repentance comes naturally, right? If you're not sincere, you say, oh, so what's a little dope? Who cares? You know, tough luck. Don't give me your heart. You know, get off my case, Prabhu, right? But a sincere soul feels bad about doing something wrong. But one of Maya's tricks is that we can meditate on that. Oh, I shouldn't have smoked dope. I shouldn't smoke dope. I shouldn't smoke dope. Smoke dope. Smoke dope. And what you meditate, dayato visaya pung sang sangas te shubhijayate. What you meditate on, you desire. So sometimes you can get so much in the lamentation mode about something that you're meditating on it. Right? So there does come a time when you say, okay, I shouldn't have done that. I blew it. There's no prayas chitta in Krishna consciousness, right? There's no, you know, there's no material, okay, you know, so you, you know, do 500 Hail Marys to make up for that or something. No, just get on with devotional service. And that is the cure, the prayaschitta, right? So lamenting, yes, but to a point, because it can get very tamasic and meditating on that thing that you're lamenting about. Does that make sense? Yeah. And of course, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur is doing it, you know, he's setting an example for us. On that happy note, we will end this class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.